the second apology is that the handouts that we have, you also see
Professor Gina, our Executive Director at MD. We also have Ms. Anati Panga, our Executive Director, Technology Transfer, over here. And our Communication and Marketing Manager, Charmaine McClure, who's right at the end there. So we brought with us our whole executive team so that the members can ask whatever questions that they might that might arise from our presentation. As I said, the CEO and the CFO are going to take us through the presentation. Thereafter, I would like to ask the Chairperson of Finance and Investment Committee to share with the members the dire situation, financial situation that we have at the IFC from the board's perspective. And then just a few minutes, our R&D Chairperson, R&D Committee Chairperson, Professor Khan, to also share with the members the problems that or share with you our R&D situation. We just assume that the presentation will take about half an hour, and we'd really like the rest of the time to be used to answer questions that members might have and to have whatever relevant discussions that might arise from the presentation. Thank you. I'll ask our COO to lead us with the presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members, DG, officials of the Department of Agriculture, and the chairperson of OBP and ASC and board members. Honorable members, it is an honor for us as the ARC to come and make a presentation of our strategic plan and business plan. We realize that the composition of the committee has drastically changed, so please, if you don't understand the nature of the business of the ARC, please don't hesitate to ask. We are more than willing to answer and give you some questions. We have tried to provide you with a copy of the annual report for last year so that at least people can get for themselves a sense of the how ARC is structured and what kind of business it does and how it does its business, what are the deliverables. I will not go through every one of the slides. We have tried to, when we submitted the electronic version of the presentation, we have tried to give you as much as we possibly could. I heard you, Chairperson, about the concern on the slide handout. Next time we will print them ourselves and give you bigger documents that you can read. Unfortunately, in the time that we got the notice, we didn't have sufficient time to be able to print out and deliver them here because our head office is in Pretoria. Our apologies on behalf of the.
No, this is not your problem. It is our problem.
Okay, thank you, Chair. If I'm going too fast, please indicate. I will try to slow down. I have a tendency to speak a bit fast sometimes. The chairperson has introduced the team. In terms of the Agriculture Research Act, the ARC really has three objects in terms of its mandate, and that is to do agriculture research, to do technology development, and to do technology transfer so that the agriculture industry can grow and prosper and make South Africa's people's lives much better. We also have a mandate to ensure that in doing so, we conserve our natural resources appropriately, which also means the sustainable use of our natural resources. When we try to put together our strategic plan and business plan, we take into strong consideration a whole lot of issues that are surrounding us. Key in that are the government's national priorities, As well as the government priorities globally, with a priority within the context of Africa. If you recall, Chairperson, this particular business plan and strategy were put together before the current government that was voted in April. Therefore, we had to conclude on a whole lot of things before that particular time. So some of the language may not necessarily be the same, but in essence, we will give you a sense as to how we feel it fits within the mandate of the current government. So we've taken into consideration the agriculture program of action, the what is commonly known as the sector plan, which has been put together by the Department of Agriculture as well as the agricultural sector, what's called the strategic plan for South African agriculture, and the program that had been running at least since last year, the land and agriculture reform program, what it entails, and how we feel we could fit within that particular document, as well as the South African agriculture research and development strategy, and the national research and development strategy, as well as the 10-year plan for science and technology, which was approved by cabinet last year. We also take into consideration the consolidated science and technology plan of action, which is NEPA's agenda for science and technology, and the NEPA's agenda for agriculture, which is the Comprehensive African Agricultural Development Plan. Chairperson and members, last year, for the first time in many years, the ARC board went out on a strategic planning session, which is a bit unusual for the ARC. But basically, what it amounted to was for the board to spend a lot of time interrogating all the senior managers and the executives about what is the business of the ARC, what are the issues concerning the ARC, and to try to also give direction as to where should ARC be focusing upon. In summary, what you see before you is the outcome of what the board has mandated management to really focus upon as the ARC, and that is to focus around making sure that whatever we do, it leads towards growth in the agriculture sector, including issues such as increased agriculture productivity, to contribute towards the growth in exports through innovation and support with regards to products and processes, to contribute towards the reduction in rural productivity, in rural poverty, particularly within the context of productivity improvements, to contribute towards mitigating risks in the agriculture sector, and internally as a business, to make sure that we do proper business analysis to optimize our own performance and reduce any duplication and improve our efficiencies, to try and look for synergies with partners both within and outside government as well as outside the country and collaboration so that we can deliver best what we whatever we can and are mandated to do, and to try and look at our capacity as well, the ratio of our scientists, and to try and build our critical mass for optimum performance. And I've talked about improving efficiency. And the other issue was also around trying to improve around our reporting controls as well as our internal controls in terms of our resources and financial management systems. Once the new government came into being, Chairperson and honorable members, one of the things that we've done as executive management, we have studied the State of the Nation address. We have studied the Minister's Budget Vote 23, that's the Minister for Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. We've also studied the Budget Vote 27 for Rural Development and Land Affairs. And lastly, we've also studied the Budget Vote speech of the Minister for Science and Technology. Chairperson and honorable members, we feel comfortable as the ARC that we are in line with the key issues that have been raised in all of those budget vote speeches as well as the SONA, and we've identified at least the five areas where we feel that our work within the current business plan will fit as the ARC. That is within the context of economic growth and sustainable livelihood, economic and social infrastructure that we provide as the ARC, that is the laboratories that help the industry to succeed, rural development and food security and land reform, education, sustainable natural resources management and use. those are the five areas that we've been able to extract that we feel are in line with, we are in line with government in that particular regard. In doing our work, internally as executive management and as the senior managers, we've identified certain areas where we really need to deliver and make sure that these areas help us deliver appropriately. And that is, as the ARC, we need to really increase our focus on what is called basic or fundamental research, and we'll give you a rationale for that. We need to improve upon applied and adaptive research. We need to improve upon human capital development, technology development and technology transfer or dissemination, and as an organization, on organizational performance. We've crafted a vision as the ARC, which is really looking towards saying, let us not take ourselves too lightly, let's deliver as excellently as we possibly can. And our mission is around, as the ARC being a premier science institution that conducts fundamental and applied research with all partners, to generate new knowledge, develop human capital, and foster innovation in agriculture through technology development and dissemination and competitive commercialization of our research results in support of developing a prosperous agricultural sector. You can tell, honorable members and chairperson, that this has not been arrived at very lightly. It's been arrived at through taking into consideration all issues that pertain to the mandate of the ARC and that affect the ARC. The schematic you see in front of you starts to indicate to you the strategic objectives of the ARC, which are to generate, develop, and apply new knowledge and technology, sustainable use of natural resources, to enhance nutrition, food security, and safety, to enhance the ability of the agricultural sector to manage and mitigate agricultural risks, technology transfer and commercialization, and an internally focused strategic objective, which is around improving our organizational sustainability and efficiency and performance, which is around achieving organizational growth and sustainability. The ones that are cross-cutting on the other side that talk to organizational sustainability and excellence, competitiveness of South African agriculture, support to resource-poor farmers, transfer the ability to utilize the new and improved technologies, new and improved agriculture technologies, really talk to how these are linked to delivering out there, to the external world of these outside the AFC. If I were to briefly comment, share, and honorable members, in arriving at our strategic objectives, we have also looked at the key results areas that have been strategically identified by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries strategic plan to say if these are their key results areas and strategy that they wish to focus upon, how are we aligned with those? And we have identified each one of our strategic objectives and aligned them accordingly. As an organization, we feel it's important that we have values. And all our people in the ARC have helped us in putting together these particular values. These are not values that were put together by the CEO or the executive management of the ARC. These are actually values that were consulted upon by all the employees of the ARC through what we call an employee participating forum. We have roughly 2,500 employees in the ARC. And they then gave what they feel are the key areas around values internally as an organization as important for them. And we as executive management simply tried to summarize their inputs into something that they could easily remember, something that they could easily attach themselves to, which is around Bartipele principles, on-smacker plan as people, truth, accountability, respect, growth, excellence, and trust. It may appear as though we are repeating what we are saying, but basically the slide that's before you just shows as a schematic the linkage between our mandate as per the Agriculture Research Act, then our vision, our mission, and our strategic objectives. They are all integrated and linked and interlinked And that's what this particular schematic is really trying to show. It's not saying any more than what I've already talked to you about. The ARC reports to the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries through the board, normally called the Council. And the Council is the one that appoints the Chief Executive who reports to the board. And there's a Company Secretary and a Chief Risk Officer in our Internal Audit Office that also resides within the Office of the Chief Risk Officer. Those are the people that report to the Chief Executive. And we have the Chief Financial Officer, and you've been introduced, the Executive Director for HR and Corporate Support, the Executive Director for R&D, the Executive Director for Technology Transfer. In a nutshell, that's what you would call the top management or the executive structure of the Agriculture Research Council. Broadly, honorable members and chairperson, you could say that if you were to cut up the ARC into something, in a nutshell, how is it broken down? It's broken down really into a focus around grains, around livestock, around vegetables and ornamental plants, and around horticulture. These are the broad clusters that the ARC is broken down into as the various institutes. We have approximately 11 institutes, and if you were to cluster them, you'd come up with these four clusters, except for one that is engineering. That doesn't quite fit those four clusters. It's agriculture and engineering. Broadly, this particular slide is really meant to indicate to the board members schematically the landscape around where where we focus our areas. It's around primary agriculture, around processing, and around packaging and value adding. We look towards new and improved technologies, technology transfer, supporting agriculture development, competitiveness of South African agriculture, organizational sustainability, and coming up with science and technology solutions, research and development, human capital development, knowledge infrastructure, mitigating agricultural risks, and whatever enables innovation both within the ARC and within the industry. Broadly, in terms of agricultural development, our interventions are within the areas around making sure we facilitate the exports, we facilitate the performance of agriculture business, providing services in the appropriate agriculture infrastructure, production, and supporting land reform, with the aim of ensuring that these lead towards job creation, economic growth, and of course poverty eradication. We hope that in doing so, these are within the context of good governance, profitability and competitiveness, access and participation, sustainable agricultural resource use, and of course appropriate government policies that also ought to help the whole agriculture sector succeed. If I were to pause and say that as a science council, one of the key things that we also are expected to do is to deliver around the science and technology imperatives that are the mandate of the Department of Science and Technology. And as a result of that, we also have to pay attention to what's required by the Department of Science and Technology as well, besides the Department of Agriculture and Forestry and Fisheries. If we were to give you a rationale for the strategic objective number one, it's really to give meaning towards ensuring that South Africa has a critical mass within creating what's called a knowledge-based economy and the people. And as you recall, this is one of the key decisions and outcomes of the 10-year plan for science and technology. If you are doing research within the generating and applying new knowledge and technology, you need to find a way of underpinning the generation of new technologies and new innovations and new processes and technologies. You need to contribute to the excellence in scientific knowledge base of South Africa. You need to make sure that if you are focusing in this particular area, you are able to generate the type of information in the science and the technology that helps build the science within the ARC, which also enables the ARC to address the agriculture problems that are often unique to the South African atmosphere or climate or environment, as well as unique within the African continent. And one of the key areas is around making sure that you generate that information and generate that intellectual know-how, which will help you lower your input costs and of course, by implication, lower your help you towards economic development. I have extracted a few examples from the business plan. I haven't pulled out everything that's in the business plan. Here, Chairperson, we're talking about the tables that starts on page 41 of the business plan. We've extracted a few examples for honourable members to get a sense as to what are the key result areas, KRA stands for key result area, and what are the areas where the outputs are really directed at in terms of this particular strategic objective. This is where we link the output with the strategic objective, and what are the indicators for such outputs, and how do we see these lending, and that's where you measure the indicators. DEWS stands for Drought Early Warning System, which is one of the outputs that we are trying to develop, both for the sector as well as for the decision support systems and the decision makers in government and outside government. I won't go through each one of those examples, but if members want to discuss them, we can discuss them. If we go to the next strategic objective, which is around sustainable use and management of natural resources, the aim there is to improve the efficient use of agricultural and natural resources for food production, to ensure sustainable use and management of natural resources, and by implication, we hope that it will reduce poverty and increase the wealth of people, and of course, lead towards competitiveness of our industries, particularly those that are dependent on an environment where climate change is not adversely affecting their output, and of course, by implication, that means increased agricultural yields. And those are the examples with respect to the outputs. If members wish to see more of them, they're in the business plan. On strategic objective number 3, which is around enhancing nutrition, food security, and safety. The aim there is to increase the access and availability of nutritious food, broadening the food base to enhance food security and nutrition, improving the inherent nutritional quality of food at source, and that's right at the point of production, broadening participation in the value chain and reducing the waste around production, increasing approaches, providing integrated approaches to optimize the impact and adoption of new technologies. What do we mean by increasing access and availability of quality and safe nutritious food? We're talking about crop improvements, which is coming up with new cultivars, production practices, and biofortification of our food. And by biofortification, we mean that the food that's rich in certain vitamins and certain nutrients that are essential for people to live. We're talking about animal improvements, where we try and come up with new breeds of animals, where we try and improve the performance of the current breeds. We're talking about animals that are resistant to disease or managing diseases, and coming up with alternative feed for animals so that farmers can realize better ways of increasing their productivity. We're talking about, if we go through the value chain, improving the pre-harvest, harvesting and post-harvest technologies, and adding value to the whole agriculture value chain, which is around improving the shelf life of what comes out of our agriculture system and the nutritive value of the food and the feed. We're talking about new products, new methods for producing those things, information dissemination, and publications. At the heart of almost everything we do, Chairperson and honorable members, is information dissemination, distributing the information that as much as we possibly can from whatever we do and the outcomes and what we've learned as the ARC. In terms of strategic objective number 4, we're looking at reducing the vulnerability of South Africa to climate change. My apologies, Chairperson. We keep getting interference from Wi-Fi, which apparently seems to exist around the building on inside. We're talking about solutions around the management of pests and diseases, weeds and alien invasives, the management of natural disasters in agriculture, managing risks to increase agricultural productivity. All of these are things that may be arising sometimes due to climate change, or that may be arising due to different types of production systems. We're talking about coming up with proper decision support systems such as the AGIS, Agriculture Geographic Information Systems, which we have developed on behalf of the Department of Agriculture, and we keep supporting and providing more information and updating that particular system, web system. Remote sensing models, we're talking about coming up with production in terms of range length and management of range length, making sure that as there's proper assessment and monitoring of these range lengths, that there is production in terms of livestock, in terms of the animal feed and so on, and again, the shelf life and so on. In terms of the strategic objective number 5, which is around technology transfer and commercialization, this is where we're talking about delivering the results of our agriculture research and development. The creation of agriculture value through our agriculture R&D, but besides just delivering these particular results, we need to also ensure that we transfer the ability of people to use our new products in terms of new cultivars and the new technologies, and of course contributing towards the growth in the agriculture sector through making sure that there is proper adoption of some of these technologies and programs, to contribute towards the increase in exports through the dissemination of technological innovations, but sometimes not just dissemination of technological innovations, but also providing services to the agriculture sector so that their exports can be accepted in other countries. We're talking about contributing to the reduction of rural poverty through formulation and execution of programs to address access and improved quality of life. Examples are about coming up with new incubators. These are small companies that can help grow. We're talking about supporting SMMEs in terms of the products that may come out there so that we can make sure that they succeed. We've worked in the last year and a half at least with an incubator for biofuels in Limpopo, which is now very successful. We've worked with an incubator for flowers in Mpumalanga, Timbali Technology Incubator, which has been very successful. And we've done these things not in isolation, but in collaboration with other partners, both inside government and outside government. If you recall, Chairperson, and perhaps it's noted in last year's annual report, one of the key weaknesses of the ARC was its ability to manage its intellectual property. We have since restructured properly as the ARC. We have created a position where we have a manager for intellectual property. She is a trained lawyer. She is a black person, well qualified and working very hard. She reports to our executive director for technology transfer. But besides just managing your intellectual property through having a lawyer, you need to make sure that that intellectual property is utilized out there. It adds value to the industry, and therefore you need to find ways in which you make sure that you disseminate some of that intellectual property and that it adds value to the success of South Africa's industry. And that talks to IP awareness, that talks to IP management systems, and so on. One of the things that we also do is planning to do in the current business plan is to start to come up with a proper and formalized way of delivering training programs. In terms of the knowledge and information and the know-how that we have as the ARC as well as the infrastructure, we've been delivering some training programs but rather on an ad hoc basis. One of the key things that we've decided is to say we need to package these particular courses properly, we need to register some of these courses through the appropriate features and deliver these courses on a regular basis in a structured manner. And that's one of the key things that we'll be doing in this current financial year. On any particular year, we go out and hold farmers' days and participate in farmers' days and disseminate information there. We disseminate booklets, pamphlets, and then sometimes we do demonstrations at some of those farmers' days, open days, and so on. And we also participate in several types of exhibitions where we do all of these kinds of things. We've identified indicators as to how many of these we'll be doing in this current year's business plan. So I think the last that I'm going to be talking about is going to be issues around intellectual assets. The ARC would not exist without its human capital. That's the heart of the ARC, and it basically has a mandate towards developing, reviewing, and updating and implementing, making sure that HR works. We've got the right policies, frameworks, and systems to manage our HR people, our people as a whole, as the ARC, that we attract the right people, that we retain the critical and scarce skills that we have in the organization, that we make sure that there is an appropriate performance management system, we have sound labor relations and are working well with organized labor, that we are legally compliant wherever we are required in terms of labor laws, and that work change needs to happen and appropriate transformation needs to happen, that we implement accordingly and appropriately. We focus, of course, around human capital utilization, organizational development, having the right structures, aligning and improving the organizational performance, attracting, developing, and retaining our people, human capital development, which is a key area for our performance as well. We have a program that we run in the ARC, which is the professional development program, where we recruit young people who have just got their bachelor's degrees, and they work at the ARC, whilst employed at the ARC. We then train them through what we call professional development program. They can enroll for higher degrees. And I must say, Chairperson, in the last 5-6 years, this has been one of the most successful programs for capacity building in the ARC because it has led to the infusion in the ARC of the majority of our black PhDs in the organization. We look towards occupational health and safety, management of transformation and proper diversity, employment equity programs. In terms of our broad makeup, we have about 32% of our capacity is made up of our African brothers and sisters. About roughly 3.5% are colored, 1.5% are Indian, and 62.7% are white. And in terms of the salary distribution, less than 20% of the salary distribution is towards management. And management here, we're talking about management across the board. These are senior managers and the executives. That's only 17%. For the rest of the staff, we're talking about 36%. And a large proportion of our salary bill goes towards our scientific staff, which is the core part of our staff. In terms of scientific capacity, our scientific staff, as a proportion of the whole of ARC, they comprise about 36%. We aim to grow that to about 50% as fast as we possibly could, depending on the resources available. And the rest of the staff comprise about 64%. I will stop here, Chair, and allow the CFO to quickly take you through the finance overview of the ARC, which gets you to understanding as to how we got to the kind of budget that we've got with the ARC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, honorable members, what I'm going to take you through is basically the process that we sort of follow to get to the business plan, the budget of the ARC as it stands and as it's presented in the business plan. Basically I'll touch very very briefly on the sort of the distribution of our expenditure, the analysis of our income, that is basically how what sort of components make up our income, the type of assumptions that we made when we did the when we prepared the budget, the relevant various scenarios that we had to go through before we came to the business plan that we presented, and also the final recommended budget, and also the sort of medium-term actions that we had to consider in order to manage the finances within the ARC going forward, and the as well as the kind of risks that we have within the budget that is presented in the business plan. What you have here in front of you basically is just a summary of because in addition to the parliamentary grant that we get from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we also have contracts with the external industry where we do contract and research work and the services that we provide. That sort of augments the revenue that we get in the form of parliamentary grants. That basically the two pie charts basically gives you sort of the distribution of how this revenue flows within the ARC on a quarterly basis. As you can see, the during the year ending 31st of March 2009, in quarter one we made about 39 million, and quarter two 61, quarter three 91, quarter four about 88. In our preparation of the budget plan, we sort of plan around that, taking into account the sort of the flow of this revenue, because some of it is basically seasonal, so you have to follow the similar trends. In terms of our expenditure, the main expenditures that we have within the ARC as a human capital based organization, the bulk of your expenditure basically goes to your personnel costs. And as you can see, in the year past, 58% of our expenditure went to personnel, and the related operational expenses that goes to 333 million, and obviously the depreciation that is for of the infrastructure that we have. And the pie chart next to that 09010 also indicates the proportion there. If you can see, personnel cost is still about from 58 to about 60%. It's more or less the same proportion of expenditure that we had in the current year. And I think this particular slide that you see in front of you here is very important to note that one of the challenges in terms of funding of the ARC is that although we do get the parliamentary grant from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, you will get a baseline allocation, and you get an allocation that is normally ring-fenced to take care of your CAPEX and other ring-fenced projects. Now, if we exclude the CAPEX and the ring-fenced projects from the total allocation from the parliamentary grant, it gives you this type of scenario where actually like your baseline allocation is less than what your salary bill is within the ARC. Now, what has been happening over the years is that the growth in real terms in parliamentary grants has been basically sort of stagnant, or if not declining. So this has resulted in that to fund our operational costs, we basically rely on mainly our external contracts that we have. And with the industry being our external industry facing the similar financial situation as I think the rest of the economy, the decline in that revenue means that you are very limited in terms of what you can do in terms of the operational cost. It also restricts you in terms of increasing your capacity. The current headcount, as the CEO mentioned, we're sitting at about roughly 2.5. I think in our budget we've got about 2.5, but the current headcount as of the end of this past month is about 2.4. The challenge is that every time you need to increase you have to employ new people, you need to take into account whether you're going to be having sufficient funds from external income to fund some of those, because in reality the baseline allocation does not cover your salary base. So it's been a challenge within the ARC. I think we've also provided a detailed 10-year review in the form of as part of the presentation, where you can actually pick up the trend from about 10 years ago to date in terms of the financial situation that the ARC is. If you go into the balance sheet of the ARC, you will also realize that the cash resources have been declining over the past 10 years. And it's mainly been because there has not been significant growth in both the parliamentary grant and the growth in external business. Now, the budget assumptions, when you prepare the business plan that we had to present to the ARC board for approval before submitting to the department, we got an allocation which in overall, if you look from 1 year to the next, it was basically a 2% increase. But there are various components of that parliamentary grant that I've mentioned. You get the baseline allocation and then you've got the allocation for CAPEX and all that. But all in all, it was basically up 2%. The external income, we initially, when we looked at it, we were projecting, I think, about 10% sort of increase. And then we had to revise it down because we realized that, you know, after presenting to the board members, we realized that, you know, if you look at the rest of the economic condition in the country, was that, you know, there's not going to be significant growth. Now, also, the personnel cost, we had to assume a 7% increase as opposed to previous years, where last year we had about a 10.4% increase. It mainly, we had to look at areas like vacancies, and the salary adjustment, the cost of living adjustment. So all in all, we had to make sure that, you know, our salary bill in total does not increase by 7%. Otherwise, we will be in serious financial trouble. Also, we had to take into account that from the Department of Agriculture, we received 44 million in the past, which was earmarked for the foot and mouth disease facility that has to be built. And also, we had, during this year ending the 31st of March 2009, had forecasted the deficit of about 23 million. So those are the assumptions that we had to look into when we did the budget presentation to the board. There's various scenarios, like as I said, it was a sort of an interactive session between ourselves and the board members. Initially, we presented, if you look on your extreme left, the block there basically shows you what we had presented initially, that the revenue, it was showing the parliamentary grant of 503, external income of 338, total revenue basically of 864. Expenditure in terms of personnel, we had initially budgeted 522, operating expenditure of about 328, depreciation 28, which would have left us in a deficit of about 15. Now, if you look on the cash side of it, if you add back the non-cash items like your depreciation and then take the working capital movement, the cash for the year, basically net cash, would have been 16 million, out of which you're supposed to pay your capital expenditure, which for the purpose of, if we assumed that we were going to spend all the 44 million for the foot and mouth disease facility, we would have spent 44 plus 57 of other capital requirements, it would have left us in a net cash situation of about 85 million rand overdraft. And if you take into account that we were focusing that by the end of March, we would have been sitting at 9 million rand at the beginning of the year, it would have left us with an overdraft situation of 78 million. And this is the type of scenario that we looked at initially, and it was totally unacceptable when we presented to the board, because if you have to run an overdraft of 78 million, you have to find it from somewhere, and we don't have this type of facility. So we had to come up with various scenarios to get to a point where we could actually come up with a cash neutral situation, or at least a positive cash balance at the end of the year. Now, we had to look at other actions to say what is it that we can do, and then we said, okay, fine. We have some debtors in our system, long outstanding debtors. And we said if we can clear some of those, then we could bring in about maybe 10 million. And then instead of the initial plan to offer about the 10.4% salary increase, we dropped it down to 7 and created some savings. We took a decision to delay the filling of vacancies. And I must emphasize that in some of these vacancies are in very critical areas. I think we'll discuss that later. Now, if you obviously cut down on the vacancies, there are some savings in terms of the related operational expenses. So that we estimated at that time to be about 4.5. We also have the animal improvement scheme that we actually run within the ARC as requested by the Department of Agriculture. That cost about 24 million. And we've been trying to get funding from the department over the years, but that has not been, we have not been successful so far. So we were looking at about cutting about 57 million sort of to improve our test situation. And the second scenario, basically, it follows the same process as I've explained on the previous presentation. This, the end of the year, it's got an implication of you're looking at an overdraft of about 19 million instead of the previous, I think, 78 million. So this, again, we still looked at it, and we had to improve on that after interaction with the board. And eventually we came up with a business plan that we felt should be able to allow us to survive, I think, for the year until the year ending March 31st, 31st of March 2010, where at the end you would have a cash position sitting at about, at least you have about 16 million rand in the bank. But that resulted that if you start with on the revenue side, we have revised down our external income. Our external income we've revised it down to about 330 to 294. And because we anticipated a drop in external income, we decided that on the expenditure side, we have to do something. And we've cut down in terms of personnel costs. It was initially at about 522. We've dropped it down to about 500. The admin that's an error. It's supposed to be operating costs, not admin costs. Operating costs, we've cut it down to 281. That gives us a surplus of about 11 million, and if you add back the depreciation of 21 million and the working capital movement of 17, it gives you the cash that's available for operations to about 49, from which you can pay the capex of about 42. And we took an assumption that if we proceed with the foot and mouth disease construction, by the end of the financial year, we would have spent about plus minus 22 million of that and 20 million on the other capital expenditure requirements. And that would leave us with a net cash of about 7 million at the end of the year. And if you add what you had, what you would have had at the beginning of the year of 9 million, it would leave you with the cash at the end of the year of about 16 million. Now, in terms of what we normally do is as well is that our expenditure side, also in terms of whether it be personnel or operating costs or capex, we try to link it to a specific strategic objective. So you can basically see these are all the strategic objectives that the CEO took us through, and the various percentage allocations to those particular strategic objectives. What we decided to do also is that to alleviate the current financial situation was that we have facilities that we feel can be rented out to earn some revenue, and also the result of our research, as a result of our research, there are various products that come from that, things like milk in our dairy research areas and eggs and fruits. The plan is to establish a unit within the ARC that will focus on sort of marketing and selling these things so that to bring in more revenue. Also to review the way all our non-value-adding projects is an exercise that is currently in process. We've got a lot of projects, but we still feel that there can be some efficiencies in terms of if we review all our projects, current projects, and have a little more focus, we can save some costs there. One of the weak areas that we had, I think, in the past in the ARC was the way we contract with our external clients. In the past years, people would negotiate contracts, and you find that you allow the customers to pay only at the end of the contract. Whereas, if you run a project that runs over 12 months or whatever, you will need to have a way in which you're going to have at least prepayments or progress payment to allow you to fund your progress as your project as you go on. So those are the other areas that we're currently focusing on. And we also looked at the possibility of maybe closing some of the facilities that we might not require. Those are some of the options that we actually looked at. There are various risks that we've we sort of pointed out, that we picked up in terms of this particular business plan that we have, in that currently there is about the 100 million rand sort of shortfall in of cash on our balance sheet. By that, what I mean is that if you look at our balance sheet currently, you have a bank balance, you've got cash in the bank, but your current liabilities far exceed the cash that you have. So which means you've got some kind of a liquidity problem, and it's been coming on for quite a number of years. It's not something that started last year or year before. It's been there for quite some time. If you look at the ARC balance sheet, your ratio of your current assets and current liabilities has been skewed for quite some time. So which means you have some cash shortage at any point in time. We do get the money, the parliamentary grants. We do fund. We do manage to fund all our expenditures during the year without having to go and ask for additional funding. But if you look at the balance sheet of the ARC itself, it does not present a very good picture. And also, in terms of the capital expenditure requirements, we've been getting plus minus about 50 to 60 million in terms of capex on an annual basis, but the real backlog, as far as it comes to close about, probably about close to a billion rand, if I may say so, because the every year when we do the MTEF revisions, we ask the various areas to submit what exactly is the capital requirements in terms of the situation, the conditions of the infrastructure. So we do have a problem in that particular area. Now, what we did was there's also the issue of the income. As I said earlier, the external income. We have to revise down the external income because to down to about 280 from 330, because we realize that most of those debt income is likely not to happen. Now the animal improvement scheme that I've mentioned earlier on, we are currently spending plus minus 24 million, and we're getting about 3 million from the Department of Agriculture. So the difference we have to fund it with, we have to find a way of funding it within the ARC itself. And we've been engaging the department previously to see if that can be, if they can fund the balance of that, because that's one of the things that has actually drained the financial resources within the ARC over the years. Now, I mentioned in the previous slide that there's a foot and mouth disease facility that was planned to be sort of upgraded over the past years, and the 44 million was allocated to the agricultural research for that purpose. But the facility is not up, it's not upgraded yet, and we are busy with the plans. But indications are that particular facility is not going to cost anything less than 190. So we're sitting with a situation where we've received 44 million, but the actual cost of the facility that we expected to sort of erect will cost 190. Now, the problem there is that before you can proceed with that, you need to have some kind of assurance or confirmation in terms of where the rest of the funding is, because you cannot engage the contractors to start with that before you get the money. Now, one of the things I've mentioned is that one of the actions that we did over the years was to in order to survive financially, was not to fill the vacancies. Now, if you don't fill the vacancies in an organization like ours, where human capital is a vital resource, you're creating a serious problem, because some of the contracts, external contracts that you get from outside, are highly dependent on the caliber of the people that you have. Most of the times, before people sign contracts with us, they ask us who's going to do the job, what are their qualifications, what are their experiences, those type of things. So, if you do not get, if they realize that there's been sort of a erosion in terms of your capacity, people are not going to give you the contract unless they know that there's somebody competent within the organization to do that. Our failure to fill those vacancies actually puts us in a situation where you cannot attract external business. So the next slide basically is just, as I've mentioned, gives the overview of what has been happening over the past 10 years. This particular slide, I've talked about it. The blue line basically there, that you can, when you see that, it basically shows you the the available parliamentary grants that we can use in order to fund our operating expenses, like NGO headcount. And also, in addition to the what it also shows is that in addition to the allocation from the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, we also get the allocation from the Department of Science and Technology for our public assets. Thank you.
Any last comments from Chair, Department, before we hand over?
Thank you, Chair. I'm aware that it's taken much longer than the half an hour that we had in mind. So I think we are under pressure in terms of time. I will ask just from the board perspective, because I think it's important to actually understand the situation of the AFC, just for Mr. McBain, very shortly, just to talk about this dire situation that we find the financial position of the AFC, because we are aware of all the good things that we do, but without funds, I think it's going to be a problem going forward in terms of being able to do what we are required to do as per mandate of the as per our mandate. If we could just ask him just to have a short say, and maybe we might just keep the R&D for now, unless you have something to say. I'm just looking at the time. Just worried about the time. But you can guide me there, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. If I may give some brief comments. I think to get things in perspective, over the last 5 years, the parliamentary grant increase in total over a five-year period has only amounted to 10%. Here you've heard a sound plan. The question is, can we deliver against that plan? The sort of funding that we have, I personally don't think so. We have really a very serious cash flow situation. 5 years ago, we were sitting on cash or cash equivalents of 152 million and current liabilities of 134. Today, we're sitting with 8 million in cash or cash equivalents and current liabilities of nearly 200 million. This is a very serious and very difficult problem for management to manage. Now, 3 years ago, when the current board and the new management team took over the ARC, there was a qualified audit given. The last 2 years, we've had a clean audit, and I think for this current year, we'll again get a clean audit. What did we inherit? We inherited a qualified audit, accounts that were 6 months late in presentation. Today, they've produced within 15 to 20 days. So the predicament that we've got into, I do not think, is due to mismanagement. I think the management team has done a very good job. But we're not getting the funding that is necessary for us to undertake all the jobs that we have to do. I think one of the things that we've got to appreciate is the underfunding cannot support the level of activities that we have to perform. One of the key things that got us into the trouble we're in is having to undertake certain projects at the direction of the Department of Agriculture and the Minister. And one in particular that you heard stands out, and that's the Animal Improvement Scheme, which is costing about 30 million rand a year, to which the department only grants 3 million rand. So that one project alone accounts for the total deficit that we faced in this last year. Now, among the things that we've got to understand is the roles that we are trying to perform are very important. Government has said that research and innovation is the key to the future success of South Africa, and I couldn't agree more. The Harvard group that did a very good study and presented the cabinet rather a long time ago now also endorsed the need for fundamental research and innovation for South Africa to be competitive. We would like to be able to do that, but our hands are really pretty well tied at this stage, and I just cannot see how the organization can actually deliver on what I think is a sound business plan. It is faced with a very difficult cash-strapped situation. And one has to realize that not only is it research and innovation, but a key role of the ARC is also to mitigate risk. Risk from things like foot and mouth disease, risk from things like infestation by insects or funguses that could do gross damage to our agriculture. If we don't get the right support, we are exposing the country to risk. And that is something, it's like insurance, you pay it reluctantly. And here I'm afraid you've got to face up to it. If we don't support this kind of thing, you could be in exposing the country to what I think is undue risk. I'd like to compliment management on what I think is a very good job over the period I've been involved on the board, which is nearly 3 years now. I think they've managed things under very difficult circumstances cash-wise. But they cannot carry on like this. If we have to do a budget like you've seen, and going forward it could be even more difficult, inevitably we've got to rationalise and we've got to cut that connectivity. I don't think that's desirable. Thank you.
Maybe a few other questions will have to be raised that will require some of the other additional points that the Cultural Research Council might wish to add on. Thanks for that presentation, both to the CEO and also the CFO and chairperson of the board. At this stage, we shall allow questions and clarities from members. I'll start off with Mr. Bosman, Chabram, and Mama.
Thank you, Chair. Chairman, thank you very much for the ARC and for the very thorough report that they've given us. I think it gives us a very good insight of what the situation is at the moment. From my side, I'm quite worried, and I have been worried for many years, and I think I've addressed this very many times, even in the budget vote and in the presidential debate. I mentioned the research situation in agriculture. For agriculture to thrive and to go forward and to be competitive, it is absolutely vitally important that we have a research institute to get us on the edge of things so that we can be up in the production side, up on the biological development side, food safety and security side, and everything that goes around it. Without that, we can really not go forward in this country. And as you see, it has the big problem with it is not the delivery, but I think it is the financing side of it, and that is what has really worried us. And as Mr. Bain and CEO has also pointed out, that it has been coming for a long time. And that is also worrying that we as a government could not really foresee that we are underfunding this very crucial institution, and I believe that we should rectify it. Now, just a few questions maybe. You normally could just tell us to not ask more than two questions, but what I would like to maybe know is the shifts and the cuts in budget to come to a sort of a break-even point, is that in the long term sustainable? I think can we go forward on this? If we can maybe get the answer from the ARC's view themselves, I know what the answer should be, and then obviously. In the private sector, that is my second question. In the private sector, I know because I've also been in the private sector and I've served on many research overseeing bodies of some of the commodity organizations. There are a lot of external research institutions that are also doing research, and some of our own commodity groups are actually channeling most of their research in that direction. And I think, is it a question of, of, and I heard what Dr. Ramaphosa said in connection with the capability and the staff position, is that a question that we haven't got the facility and the ability to do that research for the commodities, and what is the reason for us not attracting the research to the ARC, which should be the main source and the first choice that, that commodity groups should do. Obviously, I'm concerned about the improvement schemes of the animal health that is not going to go forward. And my main concern is really on the animal health and food safety and security situation in South Africa. Just to give you an idea, and I think they also know it, is that as far as meat exports are concerned in this country, the main problem is that we cannot have a clear certificate for exporting to some of the other countries because of the threat of foot and mouth. Now, obviously, foot and mouth disease is one of the issues that we should address. For how long can we postpone the facility of foot and mouth research to make sure that we are clean and keep clean? Because we know that the rest of Africa is endemic of it. That is a big worry for us that we are sitting with this situation and we are in a position that we can export, but we cannot really make use of the market. Just that's for you to start off with. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Abel. Thank you, Chair. I want to thank the presenters for the presentation. I must also admit, Chair, that if one looks at the history of the ARC in recent times, there has been a gradual improvement. And I want to congratulate the officials here for having been responsible for it. However, Chair, there are certain problems, and naturally one would like to find out where we are with those problems. I think one needs to say up front, Chair, that in our report, before I forget, Madhya must make a note of it, we will have to emphasize the whole issue of resources when we report. Sorry, I'm supposed to do it then, but I might forget. You know, we're getting on in years. Chair, CEO has made certain statements here. What I would like to know first and foremost is that there was apparently an audit done of the valuation done of the properties and assets of not all but some of the properties. And apparently the figure came to 1,036,000,000 rand. In the past we have requested a copy of an asset register. It was not forthcoming. At one stage we were told that the council has to decide on it. And I want to reiterate, Chair, that this is a parliamentary oversight committee. We are once again requesting that asset register, and we need to have it. I'm not prepared to accept that the board must decide. This committee has the power to call for it, and we are asking once more that we want that asset register. Chair, in the expenses here, you know, sometimes we have an item called other expenses. Now, yeah, it is said that the other expenses, remuneration is the single largest cost. But in terms of other expenses, it is 317 million rand in the 2008-2009 financial year. If we could be given a breakdown on what these other expenses are, you know, S&T, whatever. We need to know how you arrive at a figure of 317 million rand. It's a major figure, Chair, and one needs to have a breakdown. Chair, the annual improvement scheme. Now I know that you work with certain breed societies and you do performance testing of bulls and things like that, which is very vital, very important. Chairperson, it is said that disadvantaged people, PDIs, own the majority of the head of heads of animals in the country, but we produce a significantly lesser percentage of meat, and this is all attributable to the fact that people must be assisted to improve their stock so that you breed quality. And here I'm reminded, Chair, and this is what I would like to know. You're talking of new breeds and so forth. Can you perhaps, if it's not available today, send us a report on what exactly are you doing? What sort of new breeds are you developing? And what is the result thus far? If those breeds take root, what would its potential be in terms of improving our livestock herds in the country, or even poultry or whatever else you're working on? I may say that we visited the research facility at Stellenbosch, which is a fruit research facility. And there, Chair, those people work with the consumer, the export sector, and everybody. And they try to develop cultivars where, for example, the fruit would last longer and things like that. It has a longer shelf life and things like that. So good work is being done. But we need to know a bit more. And may I just remind you that if one looks at research in our country and you look at the history of agricultural research, you take the Mara Research Station, where the late Professor Bonsma gave birth to the Bonsmara breed of cattle, which today plays a significant role in the provision of meat in the country. We would like to know what sort of success stories have you chalked up, and I don't expect you to do it in the next few minutes, but please send that to us in writing. And finally, Chair, what is your relationship with the Honsterpoort Veterinary Institute? What sort of work is being done there between you and them? Are you not perhaps treading on their territory? And likewise, Mr. Bosman has asked about many outside institutions that do research. Like, for example, Chair, if you take the mealy cultivars that we have these days, and also other grains, the bulk of them are cultivars that are developed by institutions whose main concern is naturally, at the end of the day, a profit motive. They need to make money. Ours is not a profit motive. Ours is a motive to see that we improve the agricultural production in our country. And Chair, may I just tell the officials that sometimes it's very simple for politicians, including members of the executive, to demand that you bring the moon down. I think it is up to you to tell the politicians that you need to have the tools to do that. It's no good politicians calling upon you in the form of legislation, passing legislation, without realizing what the end result will be in terms of cost. So please, be brutally frank and tell us which of your projects that you are busy with at the moment require astronomical sums of money and which cannot proceed. And by that not proceeding, what would its impact be on the future of agriculture in our country? Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Pilosamson.
Thank you, Chairperson. and thank you, the presenter. You know, always in South Africa, we are seeing agriculture, mining, and tourism is the backbone of the country. But when you look at what the agriculture here, you go through these things, it is as if we are starting anew. It is as if we are starting to govern, whereas we have 15 years in this field. You know, I don't see too much of what the agriculture really is doing here. And my question is that they have the 10-year plan for science and technology. Chairperson, I just want to check or find out how many skilled people do they have since we started in 1994, or maybe I don't know where. And another question is, how many research centers do we have in South Africa? Since agriculture is more about research, because you cannot do agriculture if you don't have enough researchers or research centers. And on page, I think it's page 17, budget expenditure. Chairperson, it seems as if when you check the operational expenses, is less, too much less, and the personnel is too high, and there are still vacancies which are waiting to be filled. And my question, you know, I just asked myself this question of saying, so many personnel, so little operational expenses. I don't know where we are going there. And Chairperson, there is also rollover capital. I think it's on page 18 or 44 million. I think it's for foot mouth and disease. And somewhere I think there is other 57 million which made 101 million together with the 44. If they can make a breakdown on this other, what are these other? And another question, Chairperson, is filling of vacancies. I just want to know what made them not to fill these vacancies quickly. Because on page 22, I think I don't think it's risk. I can say these challenges. These are challenges which are facing the department, because they are saying risk in the 2009-10 budget. There are those risks there, and one of those risks is the failure to fill vacancies may hamper delivery on contract and mandate. Chairperson, I just want to find out what is the problem. What is the problem of filling of vacancies? Is they don't have the skilled people, or why this filling of vacancies takes so long? Thank you, Chairperson. I will come back again.
Mr. Kutura, and then we hand over to the team.
Thank you, Chair. Just one or two observations on the money side. You can balance your budget by either getting more money in or saving, either savings or yeah, let me put it by that way. The budget on own income the projected budget for own income is 281 billion for this current financial year. Now, after 3 months, my question would be, where are we standing now? Are you on track to receive that type of income? Whereas last year, in your first term, you got 14% of your full year's budget in the first term. Are we on par with that, or are we lagging behind? That would be my main question. The second question is that all departments are having tremendous pressure put on them for extra money, so the chances of getting more bigger government grants must be seen as slim, I would say. If in the event that you don't get an higher government grant in future, the only area that you can really get a higher income would be from own income. So is it realistic to expect you to grow that part of your budget substantially? If you look at previous years, I think your income previously was in the region of between 30 and 49% of own income. Last year, it was something like 40% of your budget was own income. Is it realistic to expect you to grow that part much more than the 40%? In other words, it may actually exceed eventually your government grant. So that to me would be the growth sector for you to increase your own income and not to rely on government necessarily. Thank you, sir.
Hand over to the chief.
Thank you. The questions will be answered by the relevant people. But before they do, I think what has been coming up over and over again is the understanding of what the ARC is doing. I really like to extend the invitation now to all the members to come and visit our institute. And can I liaise with the chairperson in terms of the visit? Because I think that forms a very important part in the members understanding what we're doing. That I'd like to see happening as soon as possible, Chair. Thank you. But regarding the other questions, can I just hand over to the CEO?
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Member. We really appreciate the questions that you just raised. I might refer some of the responses to my colleagues as part and parcel of the executive management. Let me start with the last question first as to whether we're on track in terms of our external income, in terms of realizing that projected 281 million. It's a bit early to tell. Because it's the first quarter. Normally, the first quarter in terms of income, you're usually somewhere around 14%. And that's really not a sufficient quantity to have a sense as to whether you're really on track. We would know by the third quarter, you know, whether we're really on track. You are right. Parliamentary grants, as with all public funds, are under enormous pressure at the moment. We are well aware of that. Because the country has to deliver to a whole lot of other constituencies and a lot of other pressing needs. And research may not be at the foremost of everybody's mind. The issue of whether we need to be raising our external income to anything more than 40% has been discussed by the board. And they have said we must consider trying to raise our external income as much as we possibly can. I think we can do that if the economy is doing very well. In a recession, I'm not sure you will get there. It actually will put you more, you know, more in danger. But before you can raise that external income, you need to have the right resources and the right balance of resources, because you need to be able to say, I can do this experiment to a client from outside because I've got the people that can do it. If you don't have the people, how are you going to secure the contract? That's the catch-22 situation that we are in. We're in a deficit situation. It makes it difficult for you to recruit because you won't have money to pay salaries, and therefore you can't convince somebody that you can really deliver on their project. So So that's really the dilemma that we have on that. With the honourable member, I will ask my CFO to explain the issues around the operating expenses. The filling of vacancies. We don't fill vacancies because we don't have money. You're not going to employ somebody if you don't have a salary to pay that person. So what we are trying to do as management is to manage, as income comes in, we fill posts because we get our income on a monthly basis as time goes on. So we have to manage that so that we can balance our books. As a public entity, the ARC, we are not allowed to just run an overdraft by law. We have to get approval first from Treasury and the relevant ministers, which includes the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. So it has to be a managed process, and that's really what we are trying to do here, to say we've got a business plan, we've looked at what are the likely risks to impact upon us reaching these particular outputs. And if you understand what the risks are, then it means you must manage according to those particular risks so that you don't end up in a worse-off situation than you started off from the onset. The CFO will answer the questions around the what's contained around the opening operating expenses. In terms of research centers, we can give you a written report around that. Universities do research. There are private research, agricultural research institutes and so on. The ARC itself is comprised of 11 agricultural research institutes, and that includes the Honest and Ford Veterinary Institute. It is a component of the ARC, not a standalone entity. How many skills does the ARC have? I think in the presentation, one of the slides that we gave was the one that talks to scientific capacity. If I could quickly pull out the pie chart for you. Thirty-six percent of our staff are what we would call skilled people. These are the highly skilled. You still have some percentage of skilled people within that 64%. In terms of numbers, you're talking 278 plus 31 plus 13. Plus also 62.69, plus 541.
Just as you continue on that on the slide, if you could also just, I hear you very well mentioning in your presentation something about soon you are going to be striving towards achieving 50%. Splitting between the staff overall and also, and what is that soon?
The soon will depend on a number of things. One, it will depend on whether we've got the right resources to be able to recruit the right people. The other, it will also depend on whether you can find some of these people, because as a research, as a science and technology entity, some of the skills that you have to recruit are very unique skills. I'll give you a very simple example. We had one apple breeder in the ARC for many years, for about 8 or 9 years. And he resigned in one night. I flew down from Cape Town to meet with him. I spent 3 hours with him to find out why he was resigning. Basically, he had completed his MBA. He wanted to get out of being an apple breeder, being a scientist. We then did a search in the country to find people with the same kind of skills that he's got, could not find. We did a global search and we found 4 apple breeders in the world. Out of the 4, only one was willing to come to South Africa. He has signed a contract. We're currently trying to work with Home Affairs for him to come here and at least build that capacity again. So it's those kinds of challenges that we have to deal with. Because also, as you're recruiting that person, you've got to get a sense as to what is it going to cost you to bring that person and to be able to keep that person and convince that person. So he's going to be here for a short period of time, probably about 5 years, and get us at least 3 people with degrees in the same...
My apologies on that one, CEO. I thought as managers, when you plan, you do set targets for yourself so that you don't say soon you're going to achieve a 50% split. You are able to say in 5 year time you are going to be able to achieve this and have in place a program that you are also able to demonstrate for us all here so that we are able to get a sense. We are now going to measure you against a set program, a set target. The soon is like pie in the sky.
Point taken, Chairperson. I'll give you an example. One is around expanding the professional development program, which I talked about earlier. And the aim there is to try and have at least 10 people going into a PhD program for that professional development program. The idea is that, within 3 to 4 years, you start to having 10 people coming back with PhDs into the ARC, and in 5 years, you will have at least done at least 50 PhDs that can work at ARC and deliver the kind of science and technology that is required. It's that kind of programs that we're talking about. But that is still dependent on whether you get the right resources to be able to fund that particular program. And unfortunately, we have not received the additional funding for that particular program. I hope I've given you an indication.
All what I was saying in short is that please come back to us about an answer as to the target 50% has having to be measured. And then so that we're able also to see a program like you're just outlining now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We will definitely do that. The next question, I have answered the question of the relationship with OVI. In terms of the animal improvement scheme, we can give you a report. The animal improvement scheme is in many different sections. There is one that is targeted predominantly at black people, that is called Kaunafatwedi Homo. It has worked successfully in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest. We are expanding it in the current year to all the other provinces, and the reason for that is that it teaches and trains poor people how to look after their animals in terms of measuring their performance, and how to collect that data and how to use that information in terms of breeding and multiplying their livestock and in terms of marketing their livestock. So the aim now is to expand that particular program to the rest of the provinces. We have a special contract that we signed with the Department of Agriculture on that one. And I think it's about 1.5 million. I forget the exact amount of that particular contract. And it talks to, as you're doing all of that research, you may also be breeding, coming up with new breeds in terms of the quantitative research that we do. I think we can give you a detailed breakdown around this. Other expenses, you're talking about financial year 2008-2009?
Yes.
Okay. We will send you a detailed written report on that one. I'm not sure if the CFO has it with you. Okay. Honorable member, on the asset register, we did send it, but we will send it again. I'm sorry if you have not received it, but we will definitely send it again. We did send it on the asset register. My apology for not following up on whether you specifically did not receive it or not, but we will send it again. We can send it during the course of this week. It was after we engaged with the portfolio committee last year. What it was June last year. There was a question on the animal health as to how long can we postpone this. I don't think it needs to be postponed. I think it's a matter of urgency. In all fairness, in the last month and a half, we have been engaged very vigorously in very difficult meetings with senior officials in the Department of Agriculture. We've even included in those meetings senior officials in National Treasury so that they can understand the urgency of this particular facility and what it actually will mean to South Africa. When we first met with them, it appeared that they perhaps didn't understand the sector and how certain things, what are the risks are to the country and so on. So we're busy engaged in those particular meetings, and very soon we'll be submitting to the board the final business plan, which will then go to Treasury and the Department of Agriculture for funding that particular, for getting the additional fund for that particular facility.
You have 15 minutes to round up.
I'm almost done, Chair. The
for all of us, so that we head over to OBP.
To answer your question around whether the shifts and the cuts in our budget that we're busy trying to implement, in the long term, I don't think they are sustainable. If we want an organization such as the ARC to exist and continue to provide the service that it needs to provide for the agriculture sector of South Africa, they're not sustainable. External research institutions, is it because we don't have capability and infrastructure? The private sector does its own research, and they also use universities. We do have some laboratories that we use for our services to the sector, and that is part and parcel of the research infrastructure. But you need to maintain that particular infrastructure. A laboratory once in a while needs to be painted. A machine needs to be fixed. But if you don't have the money to do those kinds of things, they fall apart. Many of these in the ARC have been in existence for more than 20 years. And the continuous underfunding that existed for more than 10 years has taken its toll on the organization. So that is why the CFO says we have a backlog. So try and fix a lot of this equipment and so on. I have cars and tractors that are 44 years old in the ARC. Imagine letting somebody drive that car and getting stuck at night somewhere, and the safety around that particular person. That's the fear I have as the CEO of the ARC. I think I'll let the CFO to answer the few questions, and then I don't know if other people have a comment.
Yeah, I think just a comment on there was a question in terms of the ratio in terms of between your personnel cost and operating cost, to say why are the operating costs lower compared to, as we mentioned earlier, the ARC is a research institute, so the bulk of what happens is basically research. So it's human capital that is being required more than the materials. So the cost, the ratio there that you see there is actually a correct ratio in terms of the nature of the business that we do. So if you hire a scientist, I mean, the most of the expenses that go with it is that these are just operation costs related to the research that has been done. You know, we don't buy bulk of materials like in a manufacturing environment or whatever. So it is a correct ratio in terms of that. And I think just one more comment in terms of there was a question in terms of the whether we're in track in terms of our external contracts. I think what we did was when we revised the business plan, our standard income from 330 to about 281, we took out all the risks in terms of those projected income that is not backed up by contracts. So we made sure that the bulk of the revenue that is budgeted for is backed by contracts. So we feel fairly safe in terms of that.
Thank you, Chair. Professor Khan, would just in closing just say a few words, because I think we are now, there's a time for this. Okay.
Thank you, members, and thank you, Chair. I'll be very brief. Listening to the discussion, it comes to mind that the committee would perhaps be more excited to back a winning team than a losing team. It always makes one feel good to hear some good news. So I would like to say my little piece and give you some good news and some bad news. And you can decide which you want first.
The bad first.
The bad first. Okay. Thank you, member. The bad news is that the ARC is the apex research organization for agriculture in South Africa and indeed in the African continent. It has a leadership role and it is being jeopardized in its pursuit of that role. Among the science councils in South Africa, the share of the ARC's contribution to R&D stands at 60% of agricultural R&D. The Medical Research Council, for example, is 11% of health science. So when I say it is the apex organization, I feel I'm not exaggerating. Nonetheless, although it's the apex, the bad news is that over the last 15 years, its ability to generate scientific output through journal publications, which are the way that research scientists communicate nationally and internationally, has been seriously eroded. It has fallen by a factor of 3. These are preliminary figures, and they're not official figures of the ARC. This is what I've been drumming up while I've listened. So that's the bad news. The committee needs to look into this very critically. What does it expect the ARC to be doing? Is scientific research an essential part of the ARC's work? The second is, despite that, the ARC remains deeply embedded in the agricultural research activity of the country. And the good news is that South Africa is among the top 10 nations in the world registering unique plant varieties. This is something that is frequently overlooked. We have an emphasis, for example, in DST's innovation plan on patents, where we are doing badly, only 100. In fact, it's down to less than 100 at the moment. But plant varieties are not mentioned. We are in the top 10. And we have been in the top 10 for the last 15 years. We need to move up, not go down. We are still in the top 10 despite the inclusion of countries that previously did not register their plant varieties. Small countries like China, another small country like Brazil, another small country like Russia, and a small one like Ukraine. The fact that we're in the top 10, in fact at rank 9, is something we should be proud of. So at board meetings, at R&D committee meetings, when we hear from the CEO that a new plant cultivar has been registered, and that indeed to try and calculate the dependence of South African culture, agriculture on cultivars developed in the ARC is almost impossible to quantify because the number is so big, that is a strength we need to grow into the future, and that's why it is so important for the committee to support an increase in the ARC's budget. Thank you, Chair.
Well, what is also clear is that certainly we don't have enough time to engage with these entities. To an extent, I think for future we might even have to consider quite seriously if it means having to engage from morning until lunchtime, so that we don't really have to rush over and split in between. Because whilst we should really be supportive of you know, any research in the country for that matter, not just agriculture, we have a number of questions that we'd also have to ask and also please ourselves with. As part of our work, we seriously need to engage with yourself. We accept the invitation, Chairperson, that we should indeed familiarize ourselves physically by, you know, making contact with yourself in your institutions, various institutions. For sure, I would imagine, you know, we are told here by the program that in the first 3 weeks of August is basically committee week, or rather committee time. So probably we will have to schedule something around that period of time. But we should seriously engage, you know, with each other and agree on engaging these entities like yourself. Well, whilst you might, you know, be having, you know, support, you know, to give an example, when you go through the annual report on HR dynamics there, you've got about 16 cases of CCMA and cases of disciplinary action, I think 42. That should really reflect on an organization that is really, you know, struggling with itself. Just that, you know, picture. On the other hand, you know, I read in your statement that you've got a workplace retention strategy. Now, these two, to me, they don't talk to each other. This is just an example, as I'm saying. And I would imagine here, so, you know, a few hands also being raised. Maybe for now we should end here and, you know, engage in future. We all have, you know, the right to, you know, engage with the Agricultural Research Council in future, especially also when we go physically, you know, visiting their institutions. And I see Ms. Bosman here agreeing to that. Okay.
I think, you know, I recognize what you're saying, and I think maybe at this stage information is still vital and maybe a lot of is still outstanding, but I think what has come through quite clearly is that the situation at the ARC is not sustainable, and I think we must recognize it. And I think we must also recognize that it is such an important organization for South Africa and for agriculture in South Africa for the well-being of it that we cannot allow it to go backwards as it has done over the last five years, as it was well mentioned. And also recognizing that, you know, the standard at this stage is so high that we cannot also afford to lose more researchers from this institute. We must highly recommend from this committee that we insist actually in budgetary terms that the government has not fulfilled its duty to fund the research institute sufficiently over the last 10 years. It's been going down. I think how can you even think that over 10 years, 5 years' time, I think it was put that it only increased the budget by 10%. It should have been increased by about 100% by now. So what I'm suggesting and what I recommend and maybe propose that our committee, that this committee, strongly take note of the situation, strongly recommends to our Department of Agriculture that we relook and have a more thorough investigation and a look at the resources and the needs, which is just at the moment in the Research Institute, and that we recommend at early enough for the new budget when it is even in the medium term budget that is going forward in September or whenever that we really very very seriously ask them to reconsider the allocation of the budget, because I can tell you this has been coming for a long time already, and I think that what has been said here this morning is quite indicative of the situation as it is at the moment. So I would really like to propose it.
I think we should all be supportive of that statement by Mr. Portman. All what I was saying here in the chapter is that, as they say, you know, God helps those who help themselves. You certainly have many challenges, and you're not convincing enough to suggest that you should be helped. Granted, you certainly are having our support, that's the point I'm raising. Perhaps we should allow that time. Do you have in September, October, midterm budget review? And around that time, of course, work has already begun. So when that time comes, we should also, and perhaps also engage with the appropriation then committee in this regard. Whilst you are going through your own processes with treasury and so on. Okay, I think that should end our discussion on the Alpaca Research Council. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we shall then allow time. I was told that we don't have tea. Perhaps just for 2-5 minutes first and then come back for OVP. Thank you.